Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that we can meet once again and spend a few minutes listening to you, Holy Spirit, and being fed by you and being shown such a great example of when we seek you, when we open your word, when we take it in, how you reveal the truth to us. And how faithful you are. Yes, we need to go through it over and over and over because you never cease to give us more. And we get a lot the first time through it, yes. But we get more the second and more the third and more the fourth and more the fifth. And just be in that constant position of being in your presence and receiving from you and not taking in all of the filth of the world and all of the distractions that are there. And we need to be aware of them, but not given over to them. And not let the evil one take us captive with bad news and so forth, and just keeping us from your beauty, your grace, your mercy, and the things that you have for us. You want to bless us, Lord. And when we pull out of the position of being in that area by disobedience or by casualness, the blessings, we can't receive them. And you don't want any of that. You want us to receive fully what you have for us. So guide us today as once again we open your word in Jesus' name. Well, I won't ask for a show of hands because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I hope you have looked at Acts chapter 3 since last Saturday, because you can't have gotten as much if you haven't this last week as if you have, and I know some of you have, and I had thought I might tease you a little bit with some characteristics that are evident in a Christian's life that we see in Acts chapter 3, and I mentioned three of them. You may find some more, but particularly the ones that I was thinking of, and I gave you the verses, verse 1, you see there we see prayer. So one characteristic of a Christian's life should be prayer. The next one was verse 6. That is stepping out in faith. And a Christian should be stepping out in faith. Well, I'm going to wait until the Lord gives me all of the answers. You'll never go anywhere. You won't get the second step until you take the first one. But that is a characteristic of a Christian walking as we should walk in faith. And then the third one was verse 12. And this is one where I really have a problem with. That is not taking some of God's glory. They give all the glory to the Lord. And we need to remember that. We had that in our other Chronicles study, too, with Achan. Remember, he was the troubler known all through history as the troubler of Israel because he took just a little bit of what was God's. And we don't want to be doing that, do we? Well, today we go on into chapter 4, and we're going to look at the first 22 verses of it. And just looking at reading it, and listening and following in your Bibles as we read, so you know where this scripture is in your Bible, even on the page of the Bible, it helps us glean more than if we just sit back and close our eyes and listen, which is great. But close your eyes to the outside things and look at the Word. And as you see the Word in the Bible, in your Bible, you know where it is. And then listen to the Holy Spirit, I think you will get more out of it than looking at the notes, because the notes are just weak. That's a copy, and it's on a sheet of paper, and you won't keep it. Oh, yeah, I keep all your notes. Oh, I bet you do, yeah. But you can't find any of them if you want them. What did we cover back 4 months ago? You'd never be able to. I mean, you may have a great address access system and all that, but you put it in your Bible because you have this. Everything else is going to pass away. His word will never pass away. These notes will pass away. I mean, I'm not putting down notes that have scripture on them. I'm not demeaning that, but I like to have the scripture where I can find it, not in a file somewhere. So we will read this. I'll just give you a little highlights, and then what I hope to do in these little sessions we have is say nothing except the written word and let the spirits teach you, and you will, we will have maybe a greater growing appreciation. We don't need to go to all kinds of sources and books and everything else to try to hear from him. But just listen to him as we have our word in his hands, and he teaches us, not somebody else. So take what I say with a grain of salt, but as the word is being read, that's the truth. That's the truth. So we're going to see now, we had that great outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. We've been in there for a number of weeks, and we saw that 3,000 people came to the Lord, and we were going, we were cheering in great ecstasy on what's happening, isn't it? Well, what always happens when you proclaim the good news, you're going to get resistance, you're going to get persecution. And so now we see here, as this unfolds, we will see Peter and John being brought before the Sanhedrin today. The Sanhedrin, as you know, is kind of like our Supreme Court, only it was a religious Supreme Court. And it was, as we would say today, packed with liberals. They were all Sadducee, because that's what they're called, Sadducees, because they were Sadducee. They did not believe in the resurrection. So when somebody preaches the resurrection, they violently disagree and they get angry. And what else is new under the sun? When you proclaim the good news today to unbelievers, what happens? They get angry. They get resistance. They don't want to hear it. Right? So this is all the same thing going on, always has. But we'll see him being brought before the Sanhedrin. And we will also see their courage that you need in the midst of these trials, the reaction. We need to focus on the fact that the only way is Jesus. There's this great verse in chapter 12 here. One of the two great verses that I think of, another one is John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me or through me." And we have Acts 4:12, which we'll read today, which is a super verse. If you don't have those two verses in your memory bank that just pop out anytime you want them, then you should have them there, because that's so important. And then we're going to look about a little bit further into the consequences that you can expect when you're sharing the gospel or when you're presenting the truth. There's going to be a reaction from those who receive it that are not his. So now I just want to read the word without any more comments. Really, we'll read Acts, last couple of verses of chapter 3, where we were, and then we'll go on into the first 22 verses of chapter 4, and just let that word come into your heart, that it would become yours. So we finished last time, "You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." So we've already had a good feeding of this, have we not? But now let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus.
Wow.
And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. That from now on, they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on which this miracle of healing had been performed. Now here ends the reading of the text for today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity in your teaching. We thank you for the blessed news of the gospel, the good news of what you have done for man. And yet we see here just exactly the way it is today, always has been. Great resistance, persecution, anger, upset, striking out, trying to decide among themselves, what do we do about this? How do we stop this? Obviously, this miracle has happened. First time ever that somebody is healed from an infirmity from birth, because the Jews couldn't do that. They could heal some things, but they couldn't heal an infirmity from birth. And here is one, 40 years this has been. It's not just some cold or something like that, or heal itself kind of a thing. And we see that in describing that, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ is foremost here. And that is so important. There are countries today, like Japan, for example, where ancestor worship is so revered and people will gladly receive Christ as Savior and Lord until they recognize that it must be exclusive, and then they will not go that way, because that means all of their ancestors are not in heaven. And they can't accept a God who would have allowed their ancestors to be apart from him and be in hell. So, Lord, you are exclusive. And so help us to pray this morning as we have these moments. And we thank you, we praise you for your truth. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in us. We thank you for your convicting us. And help us to respond correctly to those convictions and to indeed turn where necessary from that thing you're convicting us and turning to you, Lord. So we're all in the same boat. We all are sinners, saved by grace, that are believers. But we still struggle with the flesh. We still struggle with the world. We still struggle against the evil one. So help us to have answers from you, Holy Spirit, and know that's the right answer, the best answer, the only answer. So guide us and lead us in one accord this morning once again as we spend a little time listening just to what you're putting on each of our hearts, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you that the believing body is how you are working. And for every George Whitefield or any of these great people, that's one person. We have approximately right now a minimum of 40 million believers in this country. That's only 10%. 40 million out there, maybe 80 million out there today. If each one of us would just give somebody the good news. Mm-hmm. All of these addiction problems,
right.
All of these problems that a Christ-rejecting world brings upon themselves would be greatly touched, Lord. And if we're not doing that because we fear what might happen in persecution, we're not being led by your Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we don't even have persecution in this nation, really. So too, we do believe the Bible says it's coming, but we don't have it now. I don't think anybody is going to be persecuted in this land, most places anyway, for sharing the word of Christ. Not so almost in any other country. Mm-hmm. We are so blessed, and yet we are the most silent church probably in any country right now because things are so easy for us. Mm-hmm. And we're not asking for persecution. We're asking to proclaim the good news that you have given us, that you've made available to us. Not our sufficiency is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of you, who is what made us to be ministers of the gospel. Every single believer has been made to be a minister of the gospel. Help us to respond to that, Lord. Help the church to make a great leap forward, Lord, in not just sitting back and say, well, I'm saved, I don't have to worry about anything. Yes, we're saved, but you call on us to exhort and rebuke with all authority. Share the good news, Lord. Prayer and demonstration, Lord. Help us in that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, let's close with a song here, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your name.
Amen.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. So we praise you for your word and help us to have it deep in our heart and available for bringing it up whenever we need it. And help us to be vocal in our hearts and in our spirit for the good news, Lord. And when somebody says, I don't know how to do it, just tell the story of what you've done in our lives. That is the most powerful witness that we have, is to share what you've done in our lives. As a sinner on my way to hell, which I deserved, and you turned me around, gave me eternal life with you, forgave me of my sin, taking my place, dying that I could live. Oh my, oh my, oh my, and how the life has been transformed. And so, Lord, help us to share that good news.
Yes.
We don't have to be reminding people of the bad news. There's plenty of that around. But where's the good news? Where's the good news from the church? Lord, help us, Lord, each to be a light and salt today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.